T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, my friends. Had a busy weekend. I made 3 weekend predictions on Friday. I will have the results of those plus a couple of other tidbits. It's time for Dono's top 3. Top 3 weekend observations.
It's time for the 3 most important things you'll hear today. Alex Dono's top 3 on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Weekend observation number 1. As usual, 2 out of my 3 weekend predictions were correct, right? I always get 2/3 of the lottery numbers correct before I play. Like, I am uncanny, Solana. Every Friday, I make 3 weekend predictions. They're pretty specific most of the time, right? And I always bat 66.66666%. I am always 2 out of 3.
Literally.
Literally, I'm always, right? Literally, I'm always 2 out of 3. I guaranteed you on Friday that the Miami Hurricanes would win by at least 60 points against Savannah State. Now, if anything, I was too conservative on that one, right? I also guaranteed a shutout. That was part of it, right? So that prediction was correct. Actually, I had some people. It's amazing how shook Hurricanes fans were after, admittedly, what was a brutal performance against LSU. Like, you guys were so shook that you didn't think, some of you, because I got a lot of angry texts. You're putting too much pressure on them, guaranteeing a shutout and a 60-plus point win. I got a lot of texts saying I was asking for too much. You know, they're going to take the foot off the gas pedal. If you've ever watched Savannah State play, because they have one or two games like this against a team like Miami every year, they are completely lifeless, right? And they lost to UAB 52-0 the week prior. I had no doubt Miami would win by at least 60. I did have a doubt or two, though, after the first quarter. 7-0 Hurricanes lead. That was a slow start. But the Avalanche came on, especially during the second half. Lorenzo Lingard, exquisite. And we'll get to Nikosi Perry in a second. So, yeah, my first prediction was I guaranteed you a 60-point-plus victory by the Hurricanes. They won 77-0. That tied their highest point total in program history, which was also against Savannah State back in 2013. And it's the greatest margin of victory in Miami Hurricanes history. They beat Savannah State 77-7 5 years ago, this time 77-0. So the 2 most lopsided wins in program history have been against the same, I was going to call them losers, but that's kind of mean. The same lads from Savannah State have been on the receiving end of that beatdown twice.
They're being outscored 129-0 this season,
dear Lord.
In case anybody was wondering.
Honestly, should the NCAA even allow games like that to be made? Right? For the NFL is putting so much emphasis into player safety. Is it safe to put Savannah State's athletes against Miami's athletes? Like that can't, I mean, it doesn't seem like anyone came out of that game with severe head injuries or anything like that. Miami actually lost a guy potentially for the season, Greg Russo, the defensive end. Very sorry to see him. He underwent ankle surgery today. But, okay, so it doesn't seem like anyone from Savannah State really got, you know, lit up in a dangerous way. But I think any time the NCAA allows a team like that to play a team like that, you're putting health and safety at risk. I don't think they should even allow FCS teams to play Power 5 teams anymore. Like, for player safety, maybe there's not as much of an emphasis on that in college football as the NFL, but there should be. All right, so here was my second weekend prediction. Again, hit the nail on the head. I guaranteed the Dolphins would beat the Tennessee Titans. Got a lot of doubt for that one. My third prediction, this is where I came up short. I guaranteed a Mike Gesicki touchdown. But God bless him, Ryan Tannehill tried, right? Ryan Tannehill heard the show on Friday. Ball slipped out of his hand, according to Adam Gase. Underthrew Gesicki. Malcolm Butler, an interception in the end zone. Tannehill tried to make that prediction a reality. So as usual, I went 2 for 3 on my weekend predictions. But here's my weekend takeaway number 2. Honestly, I can't believe that lengthy lightning delays don't happen more often in NFL games played in South Florida and in Tampa, considering the weather we have in this part of the country. You know, sure, we've had some on and off bad weather throughout the day yesterday, but the storms that we had yesterday didn't seem out of the ordinary for what we get on any Sunday afternoon in South Florida, right? So the fact that we don't get lengthy lightning delays about 3 times per season rather than once every blue moon is kind of astounding to me. Now, I know that, like, in recent years, the technology of lightning detectors has improved, and that's why you're getting... That's why you got a delay yesterday. You may have had technology that detected that lightning strike a mile away that you didn't have 5-6 years ago, but I think you've had that technology for a few years now. How that's the first time this has happened is a little astounding to me, considering the kooky weather we have down here. I'm really surprised we don't have more lightning delays, and I'm surprised that's not going to be a... I would be surprised if that's not a bigger thing in years to come, weeks to come even. I can remember a few years ago, a couple of Hurricanes games were delayed due to bad weather, one of those being played against FAU at FAU. But when was the last time that's happened with the Miami Dolphins? I can't even remember another lightning delay. So again, I know the technology has gotten better in recent years, but I'm still surprised it doesn't happen more often.
I recall it being an issue with the Marlins, where games were just always being delayed or being canceled.
Well, yeah, because you can't play baseball on a wet field. Right. That's not the lightning, that's the rain.
Right, true, true.
So I don't know, just like lightning delaying football games. Like, I'm surprised it doesn't happen all the time. And I mean, Tampa is the lightning capital of the world. And then my third weekend takeaway. I know I'm not the only one who thought Nikosi Perry showed some great potential on Saturday. I mean, that was a lot of fun, watching Perry come into that game. A bit nervous visibly on his first series, but really settled down nicely. Nikosi Perry throws strikes, right? You can see the difference in the quality of the spiral, the velocity, just the overall arm strength between him and Malik Rozier. It is noticeable. So, again, I'm not saying necessarily he would have been the right choice to start against LSU. Hindsight is 20/20 maybe on that one. But I don't know, man. I'm starting to wonder if, before this season is over, Nikosi Perry doesn't end up being the starter. Mark Richt confirmed on this radio station on the Joe Rose Show this morning that Malik Rozier is going to start against Toledo this Saturday. We know that. And that doesn't surprise me. That doesn't anger me. This is not going to be just a switch that Mark Richt flips, right? For those of you out there who thought, well, look how bad Rozier looked against LSU. Should have started him against Savannah State. You should have immediately turned to Perry to be the starter. You got to work this guy in. You are talking about a redshirt freshman who, prior to Saturday, had never taken a collegiate snap before. And you have the luxury of having beatable opponents for the next, probably 3 weeks, but at least the next 2 weeks, right? I don't think North Carolina is very good, but, I mean, Savannah State was a complete cupcake. But Toledo, that's a beatable team. FIU, that's a beatable team. We'll see about North Carolina once we get there. So I'm expecting Nikosi Perry to get time in the next 2, if not 3 games. I am. And so maybe by the time Florida State rolls around, you have a better idea as to whether or not you can turn to him as a starter. I don't really think it's fair to the program or fair even to Malik Rozier just to turn to Nikosi Perry, or even fair to Perry for that matter, just to turn to him on Saturday. But if he continues to get playing time, I think maybe by the Florida State game, if Malik Rozier is still a little bit shoddy as a starter, that you have an option to turn to with Malik Rozier. And listen, it's not to say that Rozier didn't play okay against Savannah State. He did badly miss that pass on 3rd and 5 in the first quarter, though. Finished the game 8 for 12. Did throw Jeff Thomas in stride. Thomas made a tremendous play to take that 67 yards to the house. But again, it goes to show you how much talent you have in that offense. You need to get the football to those playmakers. And Jeff Thomas has been your biggest playmaker so far. But I obviously know I'm not the only one who really thought Nikosi Perry showed a lot of potential on Saturday. I was happy to see that. And Lorenzo Lingard is going to be a monster in the future. He's got that track speed, and he's got those instincts. I do want to see more about how he does when he's going up against contact, right? Because on that 64-yard run that he made, he was touched only once on that run, and it was by some dude's fingertips. So, and that's not to take anything away from him, right? Because he had such vision to reverse field. It was really a testament to Lorenzo Lingard that he didn't get touched on that play. But that's against Savannah State. You try hard running against, you know, an ACC or an SEC caliber defense. I would like to see how he does as a freshman against some actual contact defensively. But I thought that he played nicely. Perry seemed to lack accuracy, a texter writes. You know, it'll be interesting if you could use even Jaren Williams in three more games without burning the red shirt. Jaren Williams is the guy who's regarded for having the best arm out of those four quarterbacks, period. Didn't see a whole lot of him in Saturday night's game. And we do know one thing. You may question how many more times this season Malik Rozier starts in games. We know he's not starting next season because he is out of eligibility. So who do you turn to next year? Will Perry be the guy, or could Jaren Williams sneak up on him?